Dear Jesus, please be with my dad as he goes to preach, and that we will all have a great time. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Hey, church, I want to say it is such a blessing to be a part of a church
that we can come together as a church family with the kids and everything. Let's give them a round of applause again. I thought they did an awesome job. You know, the truth is, if we gave that many adults up here on stage something to act out and said, all right, you all get along and pick and choose who's the leader in 5 seconds, I do not think it would function the same way as those kids did, right? They did a great job with that. Well, this morning, as we dive in, I'm excited we're having the kids in the service today. And in fact, how many dads are really tired and are looking forward to their wives coming back? Well, I'm just tired too. I mean, you can be tired in general, right? So our women are on the retreat too. We want to keep praying for them as they are having a blast. Meg said the worship time has just been great. The faith has been doing an awesome job at that and the messages. And so God has been really good with that. But today we are going to do an interactive message. There's going to be times that we have participation that we all are involved in. But we're going to be looking at Elijah and a still small voice of God speaking to him. Now, I don't know about you guys, but have you guys ever felt like you were alone before? Okay, one or two people. Okay, I'm out of place here. Oh, good, good. Thank you. More. All right, so if you have ever felt like you're alone, or sometimes you feel like you're the odd one out, Elijah went through this time where he just got to experience in 1 Kings 18, God uses Elijah to do a powerful, mighty thing. And as soon as that event is over, he's left with doubt and wonder. God, can I really trust you? Are you really who you say you are? And Lord, I feel alone. How many of us have ever been on a retreat before? We've been to a camp or VBS or something, and we felt God's presence. It was awesome, and we learned, and we grew, and we were with other people. And then the reality is, for adults, you go back, and there's work, right? And then there's real life, and then for students, you go back to school, and all of a sudden, you're not surrounded by, unless you're homeschooled, people who are just loving Jesus all the time. And so Elijah is in the situation where there's this evil king Ahab who is over Israel, and there's also his sister who is also evil, is in charge of the lower province, and then you also have all these other false prophets who are out to get him. How many of us find it's hard to stand up for the truth today in today's world, right? Why I chose to switch to this message for this week is because I believe God is calling us to be godly men and women, no matter what age we are, that stand up and say, God, I'm going to follow you, even if it feels like I'm alone. Because the truth is, even just looking around this room, there's about 100 of us here who are here because we love Jesus Christ. I hope that's the case. Amen? But yet, when you're at home or you're watching the news or you're looking around or you're at school, you sometimes feel like you're the only one who really believes the way that we do or has the faith we do. And we got to hear, I love the fact that Izzy, I'm putting you on the spot. In Izzy's testimony, when she got baptized, right, she said, I saw the faith that my friend had. And really, from Ryan, she saw the faith that her friend had. And so that had a ripples effect that Jesus was at work because of people being faithful. So today, as we look at Elijah's life, and we're going to see there's going to be this transition also from Elijah to Elisha, that God is going to call him to be a disciple maker. Yeah, how many of you guys would say that you've experienced hardship over your course of following Jesus at times, right? Things don't always go the way that you think. Sometimes our marriages or our children or life in general, and yet God is always faithful. And so we're going to see here that God is going to be a blessing. Now, all right, now when you look at 1 Kings 18, the story right before this one, there's this awesome, powerful thing. I don't know, what is the best event you've ever been to, sporting event or most powerful thing you've ever been to, kids included? So just shout it out. What is the coolest thing you've ever been to? All right, went to a Cavs game, all right. And you've got to see more wins than I did growing up, so. The two overtimes, all right. What else? What name some of those cool? Awesome. That's awesome. All right, how about you, buddy? Great Wolf Lodge, yes. I love Great Wolf Lodge, right? All right, Owen, Cedar Point, right? Those roller coasters are so powerful. See, that's the thing. We have the best theme park in the whole world, which is pretty great. Oh, that's pretty awesome. Wow, that's awesome. Kalahari, okay. So Kalahari and Great Wolf Lodge are getting some votes here. But one of the things that we see with Elijah's life is that, think about this. Elijah was in this situation where God spoke to him and said, I want you to show how great I am in the midst of my land, in the midst of my people, even when there's all these people that are worshiping this false god Baal. And Baal was an evil practice where they would actually sacrifice children to it. They would all sorts of things that were against God. And yet there's 450 prophets of Baal, and Elijah's going, I'm the only prophet that's left. What should I do? But God spoke to him and he used him. And so here's what happens in this situation. Elijah said, let's call down and see whose God is real. The God that you have made with your own hands, or the God who created everything, Jehovah. And so he goes and he makes an altar for the Lord. And then they make an altar for Baal, and all the prophets of Baal are around there. And he says, okay, now here's what I want you to do. I want you light years, but I want you to pour water on mine so it's overflowing 3 times. Now, how many of you ever tried to start a fire with wet wood before? It doesn't happen, right? And so Elijah goes, listen, you call down on your gods first and have them light your fire, and I'm going to stand back and watch. And so they're calling and they're shouting and they're doing all sorts of other rituals to get their God's attention. And in fact, Elijah goes, maybe your God is sleeping. Maybe he's just not paying attention. How many of us have times have thought that maybe God's not paying attention if we're real? You look at your life situation, you look at hurts, you think, man, God, are you here right now with me? So Elijah's going through this, and he has this great strength of spiritual power and authority. And here's what happens. After a long time, Elijah has them pour more water on his altar, and he calls down fire from heaven, and God not only consumes his fire, but he consumes the fire around him. And guess what happens? All the prophets of Baal are put to death. Now, if you are Elijah and you're one man, you saw God do this, what are you thinking at this point? You're pretty confident, right? You have this energy. You're thinking, all right, my God could do anything. I was against 450 people. They've killed all the other prophets. Only I'm left here. And really, Elijah convinced the people and said, hey, let's put it to test. Let's see whether my God is real or the gods of Baal. And the people agreed. Why? Because they thought, well, there's more of them in number. So if more people think something, it must be true, right? Kids, have you ever heard that at school? Do you guys ever feel like you're the only one that, when you're standing there saying, man, I believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and people are saying, you're foolish for believing that. But yet God's word shows us it's true. See, I had a professor in school tell me, well, Dan, I believe in evolution. I believe in these things because that's what most scientists believe. Yet, when I look at God's word, we have one final authority. Is God true or is man true? And so as we go through this, we're going to see how God shows his faithfulness to Elijah. But after this time, here's some background on Elijah. Elijah was in the 9th century BC. He was a prophet to Israel, which meant he was called to declare God's goodness. He was dedicated to fighting Baal worship. He's dedicated his whole life to this. He had the spectacular victory in 1 Kings 18. And yet we're going to see there's a huge letdown in the beginning of chapter 19. See, what happened? Oh, thank you, honey. I love you. Thank you. That's my daughter, by the way. So, not that I don't love all the kids, but these three, I almost said that one. That would have about got me in trouble. Anyways, but you see, there's this huge letdown that he faces in his life. And so as he realizes what he's done, he thought, oh, no, the king and Jezebel are going to come after me and they're going to kill me. And so there's one woman that he's afraid of, and she declares, it's really, they get into old school Twitter war, right? Where she's saying, I'm going to kill you, Elijah, because what you have done. And Ahab was doing the same. But we see that when Jezebel sends this message, he's going to be killed. Now, Elijah just stood up to 450 people, and he's afraid of one person. How many of us would agree that doubts slip in really quick sometimes? Have you ever met a really strong-willed person who just likes to dominate the conversation? Those are the people who, generally speaking, in the way that God has wired me, that I tend to run away from. And Elijah goes in this situation, and he runs away. And so he knew that she could kill him, but he forgot that God was powerful enough to meet all his needs, and that God had protected him and spared him, and that God had just consumed the fire, and he's the same God that would be with him now. Then Elijah goes to Beersheba, where he has had enough. And so when he leaves, there's a few things about Beersheba as he heads there. First of all, the fact that he runs 200 miles away from the enemies that he had just defeated. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? If you've defeated and you've had the victory, you don't run away. And yet we're going to see that when Elijah goes in that first few verses and he's discouraged, he's going to sit under a tree. And we're not going to read this part. I'm just going to tell you that Elijah goes and he's sitting under a tree and he's saying, God, I'm just ready to go home. You could just take me now. God, there's nothing left worth fighting for. And here's what happens. Elijah's actually running from the very place God has him go, but God loves you and me enough that he's going to sustain us, and he's going to sustain Elijah. And so he actually provides food and drink for him, and the angel Lord appears to him and says, Elijah, the journey you're going on, you cannot do it without strength. And so in 1 Kings 19:5, Elijah realizes a little bit of self-doubt and says, man, I've blown it. How many of you guys feel like spiritually sometimes you're not where you need to be? Elijah realizes this after just seeing God move in a powerful way. He stops and he says this in verse 5. He says, I am no better than my ancestors. Elijah had a preconceived idea about what success was, but it was different than God's version of success. See, Elijah thought success is always standing in front of people, performing these big acts and miracles, but sometimes it's what happens in the privacy of your own heart and in your own home. Sometimes it's loving your wife and kids when you don't always feel like it, or loving your husband when you don't feel like it. Sometimes it's standing up in school, and sharing the gospel. I remember when Nehemiah came home, I think he was in first grade, and he came home and said, Dad, Mom, can you believe that there's kids in school that don't know about the Trinity? And we're like, well, Nehemiah, you're in first grade. I'm pretty sure, yes, that is a very good case. But even this week, he was saying that him and some of his friends were debating it, and his friends were saying, that's so stupid, you believe in that. And then one other kid stood up and said, well, actually, I believe in that too. And see, when we stand up for the gospel, a lot of times we think that we're alone, but we don't realize that God has a whole army of people who love and serve him in this world. I love this quote from Charles Spurgeon. He said, Elijah retreated before a beaten enemy. Friends, do you know that Jesus Christ has defeated sin and death on the cross? That is no longer our master. Do you know that the Bible says that Jesus is coming back one day to restore and make all things right? And yet we're more worried often about what the world is going to think about us than what Jesus thinks about us. Amen? And it was, man, once you have kids, you get a lot more emotional. Do you ever notice that? But the other two nights ago, Nehemiah and I were watching the Jesus Revolution movie. And he just started weeping like uncontrollably. Sorry, Nehemiah. Started weeping uncontrollably on my chest. And I said, oh, it's okay, buddy. I know it's hard to move, isn't it? He goes, no, Dad. There's this man who had this drug addiction in the movie. And he shared it with people. And he got real with people. And he prayed over them. They prayed over him. And Jesus was able to heal this man. He goes, Dad, I just never thought about how powerful prayer is. And how God can change lives. See, what Elijah didn't realize, it's not just about the big acts. It's about God working in people's hearts. And so for 3 years, Elijah had not made a single move without hearing and obeying the Lord's instructions. And we see this starting in chapter 17. But now he is fleeing in order to save his own life. I love this quote from Warren Wiersbe. He says, when God's servants get out of God's will, they're liable to do all sorts of foolish things. Now, kids, how many times have any of you ever done something that your parents told you not to and you ended up regretting it big time later on, right? Like all of us, right? The thing about it is that God loves us and he has a plan for us. God had used Elijah. He wasn't going to abandon him. He wasn't going to let him stand up against 450 prophets of Baal and just leave him there. See, you might feel defeated today, but maybe God wants to remind you that the enemy has already been defeated, and Christ's victory over sin and death is more than enough for us, and that he loves us. One of the things that we see about this journey, too, that he would take is he would take a 40-day and 40-night journey up from where he was all the way down to Mount Moreb. Now, there's a few other things that we know about this mountain. Not only did Elijah retreat there, but he headed to the land of King Ahab's sister, who, guess what, also hated him. Do you know that when you stand up for Jesus, you may not be the most popular person in the world? Listen, I was homeschooled, and I wasn't even the most popular kid in my school, okay? But I will say this. Your parents tell you not to do something and you do it anyways and there's this regret. But sometimes your parents just knew that you had to be the one who needed to be shown extra grace and mercy too, right? See, God was not going to leave Elijah during the whole thing. And yet God sees and knows everything. I think a lot of times we think that we can get away with things if it's just on the surface or people don't see it. But the truth is that God sees and knows everything. God knew Elijah's heart. And we're going to see in this passage that we're going to be reading in. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Kings 19. But we're going to see here that God saw him and knew exactly where he was on his way. The other thing, too, about the situation is the fact that he wasn't leaving for a better situation. A lot of times when we're running away from the Lord, we are actually running further into harm's way. We're running into danger. We're running out of God's presence. And yet, let's take a look at what happens here. Our first point today is the Lord knows exactly where you are. Amen. That's a good thing. Do you know, kids, God knows exactly where you are. When you're at school, when you're at home, when you're at work, whatever you're going through, Jesus knows exactly where you are. Not just physically, but also spiritually. See, Elijah was running away from his enemies, but he couldn't run away from God. You look at Jonah. He said, that's it. I don't want to follow God's plan for my life. Peace. I'm out. God knew exactly where he was. Elijah, this great prophet of God, thinking he's the only one left. You know, I heard an interesting quote this week that someone said, you know, we often think about our feelings and our emotions, but do we ever seem to think about what breaks the heart of God? Imagine what God's going through here saying, Elijah, buddy, I love you. I care for you. I've been here for you. And this is what you're going through. See, I remember when I was 6 or 7 years old, making that decision to follow Jesus in my life and giving him my heart. But there's many times where I've went off path. In fact, in college, I was struggling, wrestling. Lord, do I really trust who you are? Do I really trust your word? Do I really believe that I'm saved? Do I really believe that you have a plan for me? Can I really trust your word? Because I had professors tell me that there was errors in the Bible that I couldn't trust it. And so I was all messed up, and here I am struggling with sin in my own life, and I'm leading worship for Malone, and I'm going, God, how do you even use me? And yet as I started to step back and God started teaching me in my own life and saying, Dan, it's time that you start learning about what I say about you. Dan, it's time that you start learning about what I say about myself and my word and listening to God's voice. And so Elijah had been running from the enemies, but he couldn't run away from God. He is asked the question, where are you by God? Maybe God is asking you and I the same thing today. Elijah, in the moment, he couldn't see the forest through the trees. He doesn't realize that God had used Elijah. And guess what? There's over 7,000 people who still follow Yahweh. But he's looking at the situation saying, I'm the only one. Now, can we be honest? How many of you have thought in your mind, I'm the only one? Anyone? Look around this room. That's a lie from the pit of hell right away. And you might feel this, but Elijah didn't realize there were 7,000 people that still served him, Yahweh. So let's continue on in our passage here. In verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 9, is where we're going to start. It says, and the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, I want to stop back. Did God provide food for Elijah for his journey? He met him there, right? He already spoke to him there. He said, all right, look, you can't do this on an empty stomach, Elijah, but here's food. He lets him go on this 40-day journey where he's like, oh, woe is me. Doesn't matter anyway. He's going Eeyore expression on it. And he's all discouraged, and yet God sees him. And when he gets to the place of Mount Moreb, he says, what are you doing? And he replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Is that true? No. Was he alone? No. Yet in our mind, we can often get that way. Our three subpoints for this one are this. Elijah is more worried about what man can do to him than what God can do to him and for him. Amen? Elijah just saw God conquer 450 prophets of Baal, consume this fire, and he's afraid of one woman. We also saw that God was able to speak to Elijah. We're going to see this, but not in the way he expected. See, I think a lot of times when we feel alone, it's because God doesn't meet us on our terms that we want, right? Sometimes God doesn't. Listen, I would have never asked or dreamt for the past 3 or 4 years that we've went through with health issues in our family and even everything. But can I tell you this? Meg and I, with tears of joy, pray tears of gratitude that we are here at New Baltimore Community Church. Sometimes God is going to bring you through things. He's not going to always speak to you the way that he wants you to. And sometimes you might say, God, give me a clear sign. And sometimes God might say, I've given you my word. Spend time in it or sit in silence. But also he wants us to be faithful. It says we need to be willing to listen to God on his terms and not ours. What that means is we come to the point and say, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. Now, how many of you students play sports, right? All right, a few of you guys. Now, if your coach tells you to run a certain play and you decide to not listen to him, what's going to happen eventually, Owen? Yeah, it's not going to work out. You're going to be frustrated. The team's going to be frustrated. Probably going to end up sitting on the bench. God may choose that for a time, but also we realize that God's plan for us is always best. Our second point is God showed his might before Elijah, before he even spoke to him. He's not speaking to him with some distant, far-off relationship. Elijah had a personal, close walk with the Lord, and yet he still doubted his goodness sometimes. Church, do you know it's okay for us to go through doubts, but as long as we realize the one who is in control, amen? And he is able to meet all our doubts. So in verse 11, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. I think this would have been great words of encouragement, because even though Elijah was trying to run away from fear of these people, Elijah knew that he wasn't in right standing with the Lord. I don't know what's going on in each of our hearts today, but maybe it's time where we just stop and say, Lord, if there's something that's not right between me and you, I want to get it right. Now, I mentioned that we're going to be interactive here, so we're going to see how this works, all right? And we might take over Broadway. Maybe Matt can help me out with this if this goes really well. But in this next section, verses 11 through 13, we're going to need to do some sound effects for this, okay? So let's give this a try. So when we, every time we read a great and powerful wind, we're going to make wind noise. All right, so let's try this. Please don't spit on the person next to you or in front of you, all right? So here we go. Let's go. All right, that's not enough to knock down power lines. Come on, we've had better. All right. So we got that one down. All right, and then whenever there's an earthquake, we're going to stomp our feet. So let's practice stomping our feet. All right, that's good. All right, now this one is going to be interesting, all right? So we're going to take this side and this side. We're going to rub our hands together, all right? And this side, we're going to click our fingers. It almost sounds like fire, okay? That's pretty good, all right? So every time we get to that, we're gonna read through it like that, all right? So here we go. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After with the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, good job, came a fire. Ooh, that sounds like a fire. You need marshmallows, all right? The Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. See, I didn't even tell you that one. All right, good job. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, and he went out and stood on the mountain, mouth of the cave. See, now there's a few things that we see here in this passage. Elijah was used to seeing God move in big and powerful ways, and yet what he was missing is that God wanted to speak to him directly. You'll hear me and Pastor Ken and Joel say this often to you guys who volunteer and serve, that we care more about your hearts and where you are with the Lord than what you're doing for him at the church, because we care about you, and God is speaking to him. And notice Elijah was used to hearing God's voice, so when God spoke to him, he covered up his face and he went and stood at the edge. You ever have God speak to you and cut you in the heart and you just go, oh, Lord, I've been foolish in this area or that? Students, I want to encourage you. A lot of the stories that we read in the Bible, there's kids who heard from God and listened to him and prayed to him and worshiped him. And God used children all throughout Scripture. And even when you look at King Josiah, you look at this young guy who loves the Lord. God can use. You look at King David, a young boy, but yet he had a heart that wanted to serve the Lord. Now here's Elijah, and he's standing there. And then the voice says to him again, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, some people might take this as a yelling or angry voice. I picture God in his fatherly, caring voice saying, Elijah, what are you doing here? Don't you know I have more for you? Students, don't you know that God has more for you than even if the world says that what you believe in is a lie, that abstinency is a lie? Guess what? Jesus calls us to be pure and holy before him. And guess what? God honors that. Adults, when you feel like you've went too far away from the Lord, don't you believe that when God says that he is patient and slow to anger and abounding in grace and mercy, that that's who he is? And I don't know if you can relate to this, but there's two times in this chapter where he's asked the same question. Do you think God's trying to get his point across to him? Like, no, Elijah, stop. Where's your heart really? I love, my mom always said that no matter what we've went through in life, that if she knew that she had her kids' hearts, she knew that they would come back. If Jesus Christ has your heart, there's no other place you would want to be. And this sort of was a wake-up call to Elijah. God had been with him. He had always been there with him. And yet here's Elijah being asked this question that he's asked other people. A prophet's whole purpose is to preach repentance. And now here's God preaching repentance to Elijah. It's personal. It may seem like it hurts at a time, but I believe God's doing this in a loving, gracious way. We talked about what really sparks a revival in church. It's when people repent before a holy God and say, God, you are God and I'm not. Would you use me as you will? So in verse 14, he replies, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty, and the Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I'm the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me too. See, it's interesting that he would go on and he would say this time and time again. Yet God caused a great wind and an earthquake and a fire, and yet it was a calm, gentle whisper that God actually used to get a hold of his heart. You know, it's interesting. One of my professors made me do this really terrible thing. Back in the day, we used to have CD players that with face plates that would pop out, okay? It wasn't MP3 or Blue. It wasn't Bluetooth anymore. And so we had to drive in silence. Well, I drove an hour to Malone each way. And so I had to do that and just sit in silence and say, God, what do you want to teach me? And it's amazing as I, and you know that me already to know I don't like silence, okay? Me and Pastor Ken sitting in a car and having to do silence for an hour, we would probably die, right? So, but I sat there and after a while listening to God's voice saying, Dan, there's some people you have not been kind to that I'm going to ask you to ask for forgiveness with. Dan, there's some things in your spiritual life and maybe the things, music you listen to or things you're watching that maybe don't bring me honor. And I started doing that. It was God's still small voice speaking to me and bring back scripture. Second thing is that God wants to speak directly to our hearts. His first response to Elijah was to ask him, why was he really where he was at? He didn't care so much about the other people. He didn't ask them about the other prophets. He said, Elijah, where are you at? If you're waiting for other people's spiritual growth to grow your spiritual growth, you are going to wait a long time. In other words, you've heard if you're dependent upon the government for your success and happiness, you're probably going to wait a long time, right? If you're waiting on other people's spiritual walk to move yours, you're never going to be fulfilled. We see here that God cared directly about Elijah. Also, Elijah felt all alone in serving God, and he was serving God out of a victim's mentality. He wasn't doing it out of joy. He was doing it saying, oh, I'm the only one. Do you see all I've done for you, God, right? How many of us, our kids, have done that, right? I know that in my house, if I ask someone to do some of the chores, like, I've done it every time. I'm the only one that ever works in this house. I'm not pointing out which of my sons it is, okay? It's not Nova. It's not my Australian shepherd, okay? But Elijah felt like he was the only one, and he was serving out of the wrong hearts. If you're serving just because you feel like it's something you do and you're not doing it for the right intention, I would encourage you, maybe for a season, this sounds like a terrible idea for a pastor to say this, okay? Maybe stop and take a break from serving and say, Lord, would you get my heart aligned with you? If only he knew that he was never alone. I love this picture of this boy, and this was at a See You at the Pole rally a few years ago. And this mom had heard all these stories. How many of you have seen this picture before? Okay, no one, good, all right. So this is a story that took place at Lake Manolia High School, and God had led on this young man that he was supposed to go out to the pole to pray for. So you had the pole prayer service on that Wednesday, and he went out there, told the school about it, and he thought, this is going to be great, there's going to be all these people, and not one of his friends or classmates showed up with him. And so this lady, Stacy Philpott, heard from all her friends about this young man. She even heard on the radio that morning that there was one man at a school that someone had taken pictures of, that he was the only man standing at the flagpole in prayer. And she thought, what a nice kid. That kid's parents must be really proud. And then as the pictures started going across and she started getting notifications, she realized that it was her own son who was alone standing at the flagpole. And as she was tagged in it, at first she says, I couldn't understand why she felt it was so vital for me to see this thread. It was about a young man who had stood alone that morning around the flagpole in observance of the annual See You at the Pole Day for students. Members of the community were chiming in, both praising the student and his parents. I don't know who he is, but his mommy and daddy must be proud. That takes courage. He's obviously a young man of great character, one person commented. But as I scrolled through the pictures, I stopped and I wept as I realized that young boy was my own son. See, parents, we need to pray that God would help us to rise up people who would stand up for Jesus in the midst of a crooked world. Amen. And students, you can make a difference even if you are the only one. She talks about how the toddler who loved Elmo and couldn't go to sleep without holding his VeggieTales character is now a man who is standing up for God and standing up for Christ. She said, my son says, at first he thought he would simply pray until someone else came. Eventually he realized that no one else was coming. Then the cry of his heart changed to, he asked, God, would you do something with me standing here alone for you? How much different would have Elijah's story been if he would have said, God, I'll still be the only one? But here's a great thing. Continue on in verses 15 through 18. When God speaks to us, we must humble ourselves sometimes. And so the Lord said to him, go back the way you came. Oh, Lord, I just traveled for 40 days. I went to this land. I'm here in this cave. Now you want me to go back? Sorry, I did not want to cough into the mic there. One of the things that we realize in our own spiritual walk is that we are struggling. Oh, I thought there was a bottle of water here, but I guess not. When we are struggling with our walk with in this world, sometimes we're afraid to go back to the very people that we used to know us, right? How many of us would say we're radically different than we were before Christ? And it's embarrassing and hurtful sometimes when we think of going back. But yet God calls Elijah to go back and go to the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king of Israel. And anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat, and Abel, Mahalah, to succeed you as a prophet. What is God doing? God's telling him, listen, Elijah, not only am I going to call you to go back, but I'm going to call you to rise up a whole new generation of people who serve me. What would it look like if at New Baltimore Community Church and in our schools and our community, that here in our area, in Alliance, in Hartville, in Kent, in Akron, that we saw God move so powerfully that there was a new, thank you so much, Ken, new generation of people who love the Lord. Do you know that these kids and the kids in our church are precious to Jesus? Amen. I am so grateful for Joel to have a youth pastor who loves God and loves the students the way they do. And when we're hearing, I want to encourage you, join us Wednesday night for our prayer service. I believe that that's where God's going to do mighty, powerful work. And one of the things that was so cool is we heard the students lead out in prayer of repentance, leading the way. Oh, and they're going to lead worship too. Yes, that is very true. Thank you. And as we do that, we're going to pray for missions on Wednesday. But here's what we see is that God is going to use Elijah to bring other people with him. In verse 17, Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elijah will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. What God is saying is, Elijah, you've been sitting here long enough, but you're not realizing that I'm at work all around you. There's 7,000 people who love and serve God, but Elijah can't see one in front of him. The truth is that God will meet us where we are at, and he calls us to turn around sometimes. Man, you're headed down the wrong direction. You know that you're not going the way you need to in your spiritual life or in your walk or the things you're looking at or students, and maybe it's your conversation with your friends or whatever it is. Man, turn around. God promises Elijah someone to continue the work and that there are still those who follow the Lord. Church, I want to challenge you. Would you pray every day that God would rise up in the next generation to continue the work here at New Baltimore? We want to see hearts and lives change. As Isaiah and I talk and we pray about what would it look like to reach all the college campuses around us, as we pray about what would it look like to reach all the schools around us in our community, there are people who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we talked about before, if we believe he is the way, the truth, the life, and no one gets to the Father but through him, we must stand in the gap and share the gospel. The third point is he would have to head back from the very place that he ran from. I do believe that in the world that we're in, it's time that people make serious, dedicated decisions, saying, God, I'm going to follow you. To those of you that are older in this room and you feel discouraged sometimes, take courage that the Lord has not forsaken us. And he's not forsaken his church. Why? Because he said that he has established the church, and not even the very gates of hell will be able to go against it. Our fourth and final point is that God blessed Elijah with Elisha, but he still struggled to see God working in the blessing. It's like, how many times do God's people and prophets need to be reminded of God? Look, trust me, I'm in control. You know, the other night, the Lord was speaking to my son for watching that movie. And here I am as a parent thinking, oh, he's crying because he's sad because we're moving. Here the Holy Spirit's touching his life and speaking to him so much, saying, I'm still real. I still work. I still heal people. So Elijah went from there and he found Elisha, son of Shaphat, and he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And he himself was driving the 12th pair. And Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. And Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come to you. Notice, Elijah, the current prophet of God, had to be told by God where to go, what he must do. And what does he do? He runs away. And then he runs away. He says, God, you really want me to go back there? And then he comes to this young man. He simply puts his cloak around him. Now, Elijah would have been known as a prophet. So Elijah would have known that this is ceremonial, saying, I'm passing this down to you. And God is also going to pick someone who also has a heart after him, right? I bet Elisha had a prayer heart walk that he heard from the Lord and he spoke to him. Students, start praying at this age. Start saying, God, would you teach me your word? And here's what we hear then. Do you think Elijah was excited, kids? Right? Do you think he's excited? Here's Elisha, and he's going to serve the Lord, and he leaves everything. He says, man, I'm ready to go. But Elijah replies, what have I done to you? So Elijah left him and went back, and he took his yoke of oxen, and he slaughtered them, and he burned the plowing equipment and to cook the meat, and he gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. See, Elijah's faith wasn't actually dependent upon Elijah's faith. God called someone to replace Elijah, who he would serve Elijah, he would work under him, but his faith was built on his own personal relationship with God. Each of us need that personal relationship with God where we hear from him, where we read from his word. And so here's what happens. Elisha burns everything. There's no going back. This is his livelihood. This is his life. And he slaughters his cows. There's no going back saying, oh man, should I really have done that, right? Like, it's over. Imagine what this would have done to Elijah's heart, who has been the prophet, yet he's running. See, Elijah was willing to leave everything to follow God's call on his life. Are you and I willing to do the same? And we say, well, you don't understand. Today's world is different, and we have jobs, we have our family, and we have so much. Amen. The Bible says that he who doesn't take care of his family is worse than an infidel. We're called to do that. But God is calling godly men and women and children to stand up and serve him faithfully. And some of us, that might mean a sacrifice, or maybe God's calling you to be a missionary and you're just afraid of it because there's consequences and it makes you feel uncomfortable. Guess what? There's lots of things that make us feel uncomfortable, but being outside of the center of God's will is the most uncomfortable thing there is. Elijah felt guilt over putting the calling on God, of God on Elisha, but it was God that was calling Elisha, not Elijah. Parents, we need to pray that God would use our children. And I realize that out of all the things I say, that might be one of the most unpopular things that I would ever say, because we want our kids to be safe and comfortable, right? I remember 6 months ago, we were sitting in a worship service, and the worship was going on, and I prayed and said, Lord, I don't want Nehemiah to have to go through the things that I'm going through in ministry. Lord, I could you please just make it easier for him so he sees if this is what he's really called to, it's going to be easy. And God laid in my heart, Dan, what if what I'm calling Nehemiah to do is harder than what I'm calling you to do? See, we need godly parents who are stepping up in the gaps. We need godly church members who are showing an example. Elijah burned his old life and left it behind, and then he left to be Elijah's servant. This is a key thing, too, because a lot of people in today's world, they want leadership right away, right? They want to be put up. Listen, I don't want to just serve in kids' ministry. That's kids' stuff. Put me on the stage. Or no, I can't clean the bathrooms. I want the big time. I see a heart. Elijah said, look, I've left everything, but I'm willing to serve. I'm going to follow you. Church, if every single one of us had that mindset of, Lord Jesus, we just want to serve you and do whatever you call us to, there'd be a whole lot less disunity in our world, right? Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 through 30, I love this passage. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The things that we see from Elijah and Elisha's story today is this. Elijah thought he was all alone, but he wasn't. You may feel like you're all alone, but you're not. God had to speak directly to Elijah's heart, and I believe he spoke to Elijah's heart too. God needs to speak directly to our hearts, and we need to be willing to listen. What is he speaking to you now and in this moment? And lastly, there's things that God might call you to that don't make sense, but ultimately he is God and he's going to love you and he's going to be in control. It's going to be a fun ride. Our life is not boring in ministry, okay? I would encourage you to pray that God would move in your hearts. Four closing points are this. The problems that we face change, but God does not change. Amen. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's interesting. Why would God use all the fire and the earthquake and all that stuff and wind? Because guess what the prophets, people who worship Baal worshiped? Wind and fire and earthquakes. And God said, listen, I'm over all that. I'm in control of all that. But I am the God who sees and cares for your heart and your soul personally. And some of us, we're ashamed of our past, but Jesus loves us enough that he died for us. Second closing thought is the Lord speaks to us in a still small voice. John 10:27, Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. The first step is a relationship with Jesus. If you don't have that, make today the day that you get right with him. And there's things that might be blocking you being able to hear God. Ask God to remove them. Third point is we must be willing to leave everything behind to follow the call of God. I would say this is one that we will struggle with because it means sacrifice. But it's never boring. And last, God is calling us to make disciples, New Baltimore. I don't want to just sit around in a holy huddle. How many of us think that's boring, right? I want to see people come to this church that are hurting and broken and don't know Jesus, that they're lost. I want to see kids that are loved and cared on and that they're told that Jesus loved them enough to die for them and is risen again, is sitting at the right hand of the Father today, but he wants a relationship with them. And I want to see us be a church that invests into the next generation. Why? Because we want others to hear God's still, small voice. Let me pray for us as the worship team comes up here this morning. maybe if Isaiah can come to one side and Sarah on the other. If you're here this morning, and you've been struggling, you've been hurting or broken, or maybe you feel like you haven't heard from God for a while, or maybe he feels distant or far off. I'm going to give you a second just to sit and just say, God, would you search my heart? God, I want to know you. Maybe you're here today and God's calling you to serve, to stand up in a bigger way. I don't care if you're a teenager or if you're a kid or if you're 92. God wants to use you. If that's you today, just stillness of voice, your heart, say, God, would you use me? And if you're here today and you've come and you're broken and you're hurting, maybe you've struggled with addictions or you're feeling unworthy, the truth is we are all unworthy. But Jesus loved us. As Brennan Manning said, by loving the unlovable, Christ has made me lovable. And so if you're here today and that's you and you've never given your heart to Jesus, you can just repeat this after me. Say, dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I've done things that are wrong. But Jesus, I believe you are God. I ask you to come into my heart to make me a new person. And Lord, I want to live for you. And God, just like Elijah burnt his carts and he burnt the oxen, Lord, I leave my old life behind and I choose to follow you, Jesus. In your precious name, amen. As we close this last song, if you need prayer, maybe God's calling you to step up and do something, or maybe you just need prayer for whatever's going on in your life, come up and we'd love to pray for you during this closing song.